Before the feast of Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to pass from this world to the Father. He loved his own in the world, and he loved them to the end. The devil had already induced Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to hand him over. So, during supper, fully aware that the Father had put everything into his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God, he rose up from supper and took off his outer garments. He took a towel and tied it around his waist. Then he poured the water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with a towel around his waist. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Master, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will understand later." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "Unless I wash you, you will have no inheritance with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Master, then not only my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus said to him, "Whoever is bathed has no need to accept to have his feet washed, for he is clean all over. So you are clean, but not all, for you know who would betray him." For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." So when he had washed their feet, he put his garments back on and reclined at table again. He said to them, "Do you realize what I have done for you? You call me teacher and master, and rightly so, for indeed I am. If I, therefore, the master and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you a model to follow. So as I have done for you, you should also do."
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Who is the priest? This question has baffled many, and it has really come at the center because there's many different ideas, and I think all of them have a sort of semblance of the truth or have part of it. A functionary, somebody who stands in the place of the people to offer prayers or to simply lead the community in prayer, and so the priest serves a sort of leader of prayer kind of function, and that's about it. Or perhaps we call to mind as some sort of motivator or shepherd, an organizer, administrator, father. All of these have a certain level of truth to them, and we could list many, many more. But I think the most fundamental identity of the priest that helps to inform all the others, without this one, none of them make sense. And it is this. The priest is primarily the friend of the bridegroom, the friend of Jesus Christ. That is the primary identity that should at least be at the very core of our being for Father Reckers and I and all priests. That we are a friend of Jesus Christ. We are a friend of the bridegroom. Intimacy with him. Because you can see in today's gospel, "Master, are you going to wash my feet? You will never wash my feet." We see this moment of sort of disgust from Peter. He does not recognize what the Lord is doing for him. And indeed, I think that if Father Reckers would probably agree with me on this, I did not understand what the Lord was doing for me on the day of my ordination. Yes, I understood that I was supposed to be a friend of Jesus Christ, but in many ways, I got caught up in all the other trappings, like, I'm going to do this and that. I'm going to lead these things. I saw myself in some ways as a leader or maybe a revolutionary at different points. But I forgot or failed to recognize what was most important, which is friendship with Jesus Christ. The most important thing for a priest is to be a friend of Christ. Why? Because no matter what he ends up becoming as a priest, then he always remains a priest forever. Because priests, as you probably have noticed, go on to take on many different roles. You've had a number of priests here from Holy Angels that have gone on to serve at the seminary or as vocation director, as Father Schmidtmeier has. And yes, obviously they still celebrate Mass, they still hear confessions, but not nearly as often as what a parish priest might. Nor are they really pastors, do they necessarily shepherd souls in the same way. But they're still priests. You see, the very core of my being is ultimately to be like the disciples, to be totally given over to Christ, to be His. Because in the same Last Supper discourse from John's Gospel, I no longer call you servants, I no longer call you slaves, but friends. Because what He just did, the washing of feet was ultimately a part of the Levitical ordination rite. It was part of ordination for Old Testament priests. Remember, Jesus says, "Do you understand what I have done for you?" Yes, He offered them an example of humility. He's also saying, "I just made you on par with me. I've just given you the same powers that I myself have exercised on behalf of my Father." And we will see them do this. As soon as we get into the Acts of the Apostles, we will see them heal as easily as Jesus healed. Just simply they have to bring the sick out and Peter's shadow falls on them and they're healed. They forgive sins. They proclaim the good news because they are commissioned by Christ. And so, yes, we are ordained. We have that power always. But that power does not truly become effective unless the priest maintains this friendship. Unless he maintains that friendship by hours of prayer before the Blessed Sacrament, sleepless nights before the tabernacle, when things are all going wrong, when nothing seems to go right for him. But in that moment especially, one could say, is the greatest moment of intimacy with our Lord. As George Marnaños notes in his beautiful novel, Diary of a Country Priest, he has another priest speculate at one point that Jesus called each of his priests that would be ordained at a different point throughout his ministry. There would be those, yes, the great preachers like the Anthony of Padua's, the St. Dominic's, those of the like of Bishop Barron, who would draw many to himself as he did at the Sermon on the Mount and a number of his other teachings. But then he also notes that there were certainly many priests called in the last hours that we encounter throughout this Triduum. Those would be called at Gethsemane in a moment of greatest trial, in the moment of doubt, in a moment of utter emptiness at Gethsemane and at the cross. And it is in that moment, a priest who is called in that moment is invited into a special intimacy with our Lord. And so the priesthood is ultimately not about what's the most successful way for me to bring about change in the church, or how do I lead the most people, but instead ultimately comes about fidelity to Christ and to His Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father. And a priest who suffers much and ultimately sees little worldly success, anything that can be observed, ultimately is probably the one who is pouring graces into those more fertile pastures, to where people are ultimately knocking down the doors of heaven, coming to salvation. It is through a priest's suffering that ultimately he contributes to the success of his, well, more charismatic, likable brothers. And I think then that this is also a lesson for all of you, because then that's the role of the priest, and how the heck does that relate to all of you? And it ultimately comes down to that. Does a priest help his people to become friends of Jesus Christ? To bear their cross, or crosses, whatever they may be? Does it ultimately become a seeking of the heart of our Lord? Yes, the seeking of our heart of the Lord at the moment, while He's preaching to many, the Sermon on the Mount. Yes, while he's healing the lame and the deaf and the mute and the blind. But also calls you in the midst of the struggles of your own life, the difficulties that you encounter, the trials you endure, and the sufferings that will come. That is ultimately the role of the priest. He is supposed to spend hours in prayer to become friends of Christ, because then he can show you how to be that friend as well. Yes, every single priest can confect the Eucharist. He can forgive your sins. He can baptize. But it takes work to maintain a relationship, as those of you who are married know, as anyone who has friends knows. It's not easy. It takes work, much perseverance through periods of dryness, trial, difficulty. And the priest, by his own example of perseverance, through periods of great suffering, of dryness, of difficulty, he ultimately lays the way and begins to learn a wisdom that gets passed on to you in counsel, in the confessional, in his preaching, the moments of visit, encounter. Those are ultimately the things that a priest is called to. Yes, obviously the sacraments, and I'm not saying his job is not the sacraments. My point is this. If we as priests forget our primary identity as a friend of the bridegroom, understanding what he did for us, he made me like him. If I think about that too much, my mind would probably be blown, and I would not be able to move on with Mass at this moment. And so it is important for us to reflect upon that reality often. What has he done for me? What does he continue to pour out upon me? Does he desire for each of us? And it's only whenever that a priest is truly rooted in his identity as a friend of Christ, then his identity as a father is not his. His identity as leader is not his. Because I'm not your priest, I'm a priest of Jesus Christ. I belong to him. This is how every priest can act as a father, because he participates in the fatherhood of God through Jesus Christ. It's rooted in what he has done for us, a call that is unique to each man, and perhaps even some young men out there, perhaps next to me, that too may be experiencing that call. Our calls are unique, but at the same time united in the heart of Christ, finding its source in him, and finding our source in Jesus Christ, our friend. The priest then shows you the way. Become friends of Christ and children of the Father.